This is it. This is the one. The Tea-Free Podcast, all up in your grill, Holmes. This week, we'll be pumping the following into your ears from our word syringe. I-O, it's off to work we go, as Google announces a slew of interesting things at its big California bash. The sleeping gods rise again to claim the world they once dominated, and I'm not speaking about our Lord Cthulhu or the unspeakable horror of Yog-Sothoth. I'm trying to make the new Nokia and BlackBerry announcement seem exciting. And another thing, yeah, celebrity tech staffers, what's all that about, isn't it? The new Xbox, pictures leaked of the venue where it'll be announced. Ha-ha! And joining me are two men who seldom leak, thanks to diligent shaking and wiping, Andrew Wooden, and the stand-in for Tom Tamblyn, who is himself Ree Morgan's middlingly popular stand-in, fourth choice podcast make weight, Pete Dreyer.
Say hello,
I've given
Pete.
You the big, that's my turn. Introduction. Hi. There.
Yeah. All right, Pete.
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Another day in paradise.
What do you do on the magazine?
I write lifestyle features. And occasionally tech.
That's good. What kind of lifestyle? Well, that's an interesting thing. Well, what lifestyle-y things have you been up to this week?
Oh, golf. Lots of golf.
Cool.
Clubs.
Playing golf?
Playing golf. No, I don't get to do that. Oh. Chained to my desk.
You been into anything interesting, Andrew?
Have I been up to anything interesting? Mm. This sounds a bit... No.
Not in a legal sense.
Not in a legal sense. No, you know, just pottering along. It's sunnier now than it was in the week, wasn't it? That was some bad weather.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So you haven't done anything at all tech-related and interesting
this
week.
I keep trying to crowbar the weather in, and I always get shot down. Well, we've watched an awful lot of conferences, to be honest.
So no, in other words.
No.
I went to the launch of something that looked like a sideboard, but was actually a stereo. So that was quite good. Yep, that was in a sort of swanky club in... we're talking about this later, but they've revamped Google Maps. But at the moment, Google Maps doesn't know where the Century Club on Shaftesbury Avenue is.
Google Maps doesn't know where almost anything.
So I don't know. Hopefully Larry Page has personally looked into that.
Yeah, I bet he has.
Because it's got an extremely discreet doorway, so it's impossible to find by eye. And then if you can't find it on Google Maps either, that's pretty much game over, really.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, I'm getting increasingly frustrated with Google Maps. I thought it was... For a while, I didn't realise I'd been covertly swiped onto Apple Maps, because when it updated to iOS 6.1...
Yeah, that was Apple Maps.
It did it, but it just calls it Maps, and that's what Google Maps used to be called, and Mac was it. But then I worked that out and got rid of it straight away.
Because you're tech savvy that way.
Because I'm a tech ninja. And so I got the new Google Maps on there, and that's worse than it used to be.
It does seem to have been. Mm. I think they stopped making any effort, because they've seen Apple's competition.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh God, this is laughable.
Like, we're just going too far over the top.
We'll just concentrate on making the graphics look prettier.
Yeah.
And not actually worry about where anything is. Yeah, so but it seems to be, it's like a growth industry, is furniture that looks like stereos. I've got that the wrong way around, really. Stereos that look like furniture. It's like
a bit naff, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what you'd call it. Decor audio. Audio-ture.
Furniture-le-sound. Sit-down sound.
Hmm. But you couldn't sit on it. It was a table. I'll
sit on a table. I'll lean on a table.
Lean on it, yeah.
And ask people what they think they're up to.
I'll tell you what, if you came around and sat down on my £2,000 table that was actually a stereo, I'd be most upset.
Well, I'd muffle the noise coming
quite
out.
Quite possibly would. The weird thing about it was they unveiled it. It was literally under a silk sheet. Whipped off the sheet. And it looked like there was a recess in the top of the table that was a sort of an ashtray. Or you might put... olives in, perhaps. Oh, right. if you're having a soiree.
Olive?
But it turned out that was actually where that's where the remote control sat. So that's what I took away
Why
from that.
Why do you need a dip for remote control? It's not like they float off. We're not in zero G.
Well, it's design, isn't it? If you're charging £2,000 for a stereo, you want some nice design flourishes so people can go, wow, look at the attention to detail there.
Just make it good.
Well, we didn't get able to see where it was really good as a stereo because then we played about 3 seconds of music in it.
That's sus.
I know, it's extremely sus. And yesterday I went to another thing, which was a Bang & Olufsen surround sound launch. And again, you didn't really get to hear any more than about 10 or 15 minutes of music. And that music was the soundtrack to Les Miserables.
Oh, not the Susan Boyle one?
No, just the actual soundtrack from the film. So with, Russell Crowe.
You want something a bit...
We will...
It's like a big teddy bear. Yeah, you want something a bit dancey with some different synths.
We will trust the revolution.
We're in France. I haven't seen it.
But the thing is, I hate Les Miserables. I was actually talking to Bang & Olufsen's, well, it turned out to be their CEO and their head of marketing. And I was going, why did you choose Les Miserables? I hate Les Miserables.
No, I went to a recent one. Me and the ex, Rob Temple, who used to work for us, went to a...
I didn't know you were dating, even.
Yeah. it was a oyster. The speaker was called an oyster.
Yeah, and they didn't play it at all. Did they? That one's notorious.
It was...
It wouldn't sound very good here because it's a room.
Yeah.
And you can't really... Ooh,
so why book that room?
Having chosen the room.
Yeah, it was very strange. And so we're just there and we had a look at it and there was a speech and some canapes and it was all very nice and well to do. And it's, you know, it's not what I call a hard time, but... If it's a launch for a speaker, the bare minimum you expect to do is hear it.
Yeah. This Bang & Olufsen thing and the table that looked like a stereo, they really did do the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? It just makes you think, well, don't do an event then, because it sounds like...
Maybe it is the thing of, like, everybody likes different music, and they're just going to piss people off if they played it for, like, hours and hours and hours of whatever their choice of music is. There's going to be at least half the room is going to be sat there, like...
Just play the new Daft Punk song, everyone... Everyone loves that.
Nobody's heard that.
No one's heard it.
And everybody would love to hear it.
Ah,
or if they have heard it, they'd like to hear it more. Because it is, I mean, at the moment, they do occasionally play some other songs in between the non-stop playing of the Daft Punk song on every radio station and in every shop in, you know, the country. But
God.
If we really put our minds... There was a thing in The Onion a couple of years ago when, you know, Do You Believe in Life After Love by Cher, whatever that song was actually called. They had like a joke headline, which was that song now audible from every single square inch of America all of the time.
Yeah.
And we're already reaching that kind of critical mass with...
It's just everywhere. I
thought it was funky because it sounds like he's saying funky, but you're right, it is lucky.
He's
not enunciating clearly enough.
That's the whole thing with them. But if I'm not thinking of anything else at this point, that song is going on in my head. Mm. It's remapped my neural network just by constant, relentless audio bombardment.
My favourite bit is when Pharrell goes the first line, where he's like, the legend of the phoenix.
Well, I don't know if I know any words.
He gives
it,
a little self-satisfied little sort of, after singing that line.
Lovely.
So, all right, okay, so that wasn't...
Allegedly.
That wasn't a great pair of amusing anecdotes, but on to serious matters now. Serious matters. The world's resources are depleted. Mother Nature's teats, wizened and dry, sucked black by the voracious feeding mouth of man. Now, what I'm saying is, when are we going to stop squandering the Earth's resources on... maybe this is a bit self-indulgent, but I've noticed that every single thing that I go to, I get given a USB key. And even if you don't work in the media, I do believe, if you're like a normal person, if you go to an event, you know, like you might sell napkins or whatever, you go to your big napkin conference, they'll give you a USB key with napkin news, pictures of napkins.
That's
and
the
all
trade
that kind
bag,
of thing.
Isn't it?
Whatever it is you people at home do for napkin a living, news. I don't know. IT professionals, whatever. You're handed a USB key.
Yeah.
As if there is not any other way of sharing images and words.
Yeah, it's a bit outdated.
Why?
It's not even the easiest way. Because everyone does that, you end up with just a pile of USB keys.
Massive pile.
With nothing on them. So you don't know. Well, you don't know what. So you go, oh, where was that Panasonic one? I don't know. It's just a pile of USB keys. So you've got to go through all of them.
Maybe now I'll email somebody from Panasonic and say, can you email me some photographs?
Yeah, I go, oh, did we give you the USB? Just email it to me, did.
It's as if everybody who works in PR and works in marketing has missed the invention of email. And I know for a fact they haven't, because they bombard me with bloody emails like 24/7. Yeah. So I know these PR people know what email is.
Yeah.
So why are they handing me USB keys?
Maybe it's like the assumption, because we have quite a low threshold of
the funny thing is, they memory. Actually think we go home and look at them.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I've spoken to PRs, like, well, you shouldn't really, you know, I have talked to them about this. So it's kind of a waste of time having USB keys. The ideal thing would be to have a decent press site where you just log on, but not log on, because that pisses me off. Just having a level of security on... you know, oh, we don't want any normal person to come and take a photo, you know, to be able to take away a high-res image of our camera.
It's just bullshit. It's like
the world everything. Could end with that happen.
Yeah. Oh, can you sign in and do this? And what's your password?
Yeah.
Do you want me to write about your product?
Exactly. Is that what you want?
Why are you adding a layer of guff between you and your article?
I mean, I'm sorry if you're listening to this and you don't work in the media, so this is like not even a first world problem. It's just not even a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're a journalist, it does piss you off. And I'm launching a new campaign, and it's called Kick Out the Keys, as in USB keys.
Like Kick Out the Jams. Or use that as a theme tune.
Sub off the USB. Because sub, USB, anagram. No, okay, Kick Out the Keys.
Yeah, I've got...
Disseminate your information in a way suitable for the post-dial-up broadband age.
Email it. I mean, I say, oh, you know, maybe it's a big email file if you're sending a high-res image, but they never send high-res images, so it doesn't matter. Mm. You always just get a 33K little thing that looks like 4 pixels glued together.
In the very early days when you got USB keys, and they've never been any use, and journalists have never used them, at least you might get excited about being handed one that had like an 8 gigabyte
big
capacity,
say. Yeah.
And then you'd obviously immediately delete whatever was on it. You'd delete the press kit, but then you'd have a nice 8 gigabyte USB key. But that's got no purpose now anymore. And they've started
Google Drive. You don't need it, do you?
No, exactly. And they've started doing all this crap with like making it look like the product. I got one that was like the same, almost the same size, certainly the same shape as a Kärcher window washer thing. And it's a very clever bit of kind of foam rubber engineering. Yeah. But straight away, it's like, well, that ain't going to go in the back of my beautifully designed iMac, is it? Because
what was it
that
a press
only has a little
for?
Slender space for such for USB gizmos.
What was it a press release for?
For Kärcher.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, sorry. They make, you know those window wiper things?
Yeah.
It's like a squeegee, but it's like a power squeegee.
So it actually was for that. It wasn't like that's a quirky thing like it was to do with a car.
No, that really would be mad.
It's actually a press release for a squeegee.
It was the press pack for Kärcher. Well, I never did get to read it, even if I'd wanted to. I couldn't read it because it wouldn't fit
amazing.
In my
probably
computer.
Be an amazing exercise in just sort of saying something when there's nothing there. I mean, how would you make a squeegee sound?
Well, it's a power squeegee.
So it's what?
We've had it on this show. It's like it's a very high quality product.
Maybe I'm doing it down.
Well, you
should give it a try.
I'll give you a try, mate.
Easy now.
Doesn't sound as much of a threat as I thought it would.
No.
You're not very good at threats, Andrew.
No, they all sound weird.
But anyway, so sort that out. But so anyway, but one brand that certainly doesn't hand out USB keys because they are forward thinking is Google. Google probably download press packs into the willing journalists. They probably have all their sort of pet journalists who have kind of data. They have RAM implanted in their teeth.
Well, they just have Google Glass and it just speaks through their eye straight into the brain.
Absorbs.
I think no. I think Larry Page actually French kisses the information into their. RAM chip
into their waiting gold
implants.
Yeah,
in a kind of a sort of bizarre, sort
like
of,
a Lawnmower Man scene.
Well, somewhere between Lawnmower Man and almost like Holy Communion.
Yeah,
but kind of twisted into some sort of
like
vile and disgusting cybernetic thing.
Like the Evil Dead.
The Evil Dead.
A bit like the Evil Dead.
Hmm. And moving on. I've peaked.
Oh dear. Counting the minutes until Ree's back. But yeah, Tech Hounds, Wooden and Dreyer have been watching the happenings for a special viewer, like the men who watch the security cameras in the film Flash Gordon. I think I understood that reference when I wrote it down. There's a scene in Flash Gordon where they're all sat there going, oh, General Carla, Flash Gordon approaching. And then somebody runs in and they're wearing these like goggles with screens on them. Somebody runs
Google
in.
Google Glass.
Kind of like. Whips off the goggles from one of these guys, and they immediately, not just that guy, but him and all of his colleagues die. Now, that is a poorly designed way of looking at information on a screen.
Well, if you die, if it stops, yeah.
That's going to be like Google Glass version 5. That's going to be the same sort of thing. It's like you take it off, instant death.
And your brain just melts.
Massive biofeedback jolt for your eyes.
What's the... it's not Total Recall, is it? Where they have the thing, the things run their neck and they explode.
That is...
Running Man?
Yeah.
That's Running Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be exactly like that. That's what Google have in mind for us. But or is it? What has been the main talking points of the I/O conference?
Yeah,
which I assume means in stroke out, does it?
Input output.
Yeah, that's.
So what were
the main talking points? Talk me through it.
Go on, Pete.
Something to do with music, wasn't there?
The streaming bit, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do now is just generally wax around Google I/O.
Right.
So there was a music streaming thing, wasn't there?
There was.
This is getting to feel like bring your child to work. Now, do you remember, Peter? There was a music thing.
There was a music.
You liked that, didn't you?
There was a music thing. Well, I did and I didn't, in the sense that they updated it and it looks really nice, but I don't see any reason why anyone's going to start using it.
Oh, wasn't that adorable? Sorry.
I did it, Dad.
That's good.
It's
new.
What's the difference between it and Spotify?
Well,
I imagine Spotify has more songs.
Well,
no, if they're launching it new, surely they would need to come in and be like, bam. Okay, Spotify, 10 billion tunes. We got 15 billion
that
tunes.
That came in with Google Plus. It was an absolutely shitty version of Facebook, and that didn't seem to stop.
At least that was different. Whereas this is literally, this is like a music streaming service. You pay a subscription, you get some money. Some music.
Nice. Yeah.
That'd be a good, I'd pay for that.
Yeah.
You get some music. There is already at least, well, Spotify is the market leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's their strategy?
I'm assuming there's much more social networking integration, is that right?
Oh, for God's
sake, well,
who cares?
Yeah, there will be, but essentially, yeah, they didn't give any exact numbers on how many tracks, but they've got all the big licenses. And then you're essentially paying the same the same fee you do for Spotify Unlimited.
Right.
Spotify Premium.
It's a tenner a month?
It's a tenner in the US. It's $10.
I think it's 10 quid here.
I assume it'll be 10 quid here.
Yeah, so just rip off Britain, so we pay the same in pounds as they do in dollars.
Yeah.
Where's the justice in that, eh?
It all looks very nice, but there's nothing to differentiate it particularly.
I know, it's really hard. Mm. I couldn't figure it out. I think it's just basically odd, Google, like, there are some people who'll just buy anything that we do. And Spotify isn't, to be fair, Spotify isn't as established in America as it is in Europe. So maybe we're looking at it in a Eurocentric kind of way.
Maybe it'll be big over there. I don't know if there's any advantage to it. If they had more songs or whatever, I'd jump over. There's no point being partisan about these things.
I'll pay a tenner. I don't use Spotify myself. But it just seemed like an odd thing. They made a big kind of ballyhoo about it, and it was quite widely written about. And I mean, so, you know, their stock price has been sort of going up all the way through the I.O. conference, and everybody seemed very happy about that. But I just couldn't really, for me, I don't know.
I think if they're going to drag a lot of people off Spotify, there's got to be a reason. They can't offer the same thing and think that people are...
Yeah, I mean, just being able to update your Google Plus account with what you've listened to, literally no one will
give a flying fly anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, Spotify sort of does that anyway. You were spying on me, weren't you? What I was listening to on Spotify.
Mm.
Which I didn't know you could do. Because I never use the desktop application. I never...
Yeah, you just need to untick the box saying... share my embarrassing music taste with acquaintances.
So hugely embarrassing, yeah. Daphne and Celeste. Who else?
I don't know. You jump from Paul Weller to Guns N' Roses at one point.
Well, that's because it's an XFM playlist that's got about 800 songs, and you just make it available offline, and they're just there, put it on random. If you're going under the tube, not a problem. My music's still playing. It's got quite a lot of guff on
just
it.
Just almost become an advert for Spotify. Then.
Not a problem.
So what else were they showing off? What's happening with Google Glass? Because the only thing I saw was I was watching the keynote speech, and a lot of people in the audience seem to be wearing Google Glass.
I don't think there was any...
There's one place. It's like going to a Star Trek convention.
Yeah.
That is the one time you are going to dress up as Deanna Troi.
If you've bought the uniform, then if there's you pop that on.
And so what else was announced at I.O.?
There was a tweak of maps slightly, wasn't there? They made that look a bit better, but...
Yeah, the only bit I saw of that was almost like a sort of view of Putney or whatever from almost like a different planet, which was... It was like the Apple Maps 3D flyover thing. Very kind of graphically...
You just don't use that stuff, do you? Like,
the only place I could honestly see anybody using that would be in a sort of phone shop, really.
Yeah, the guy saying, look what you can do. Yeah. Look, you can do that. You go, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, never will. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It makes use of the four cores or whatever you've got. Or,
yeah, you'd
or
be
some
like,
of the graphics.
Hmm, yeah, that's very impressive.
That's nice, very smooth.
Very smooth. Good frame rate.
Yeah. That's a lovely little frame, mate.
But can it show me where the Century Club Shaftesbury Avenue is? Can it bollocks?
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's what Google seems to be doing a lot of now. They get a lot of, you know, they are quite interesting. They get a lot of respect for innovating and doing lots of interesting things and everything, but I'm kind of getting the feeling that it all ends up in just evaporating. Like, everyone went on about that Nexus Q that was the last I.O., like the circular ball that was sort of a computer and a speaker, and you tap it in and it's got loads of NFC and everything. It's all very interesting. Never came out. They just keep demonstrating ideas and then never doing anything with them.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, because another thing they had was that Galaxy S4 where they basically scrubbed all the S4-ness from it.
Yeah, the skin that Samsung puts on it.
And that's quite an interesting thing to do, but presumably that isn't going to be available as such. That was, in fact, you might almost say that was a bit of like corporate willy waving with them saying, hey, look, Samsung's made this phone. It's all right, but it's got all this stuff that takes up most of the storage space. Wouldn't it be better if we just did it like this? This is how we'd do it.
And it was just a bare Google.
And they did it in their usual sort of slightly sinister kind of...
Yeah.
So we think it's a wonderful phone, but wouldn't it be better if it... Wouldn't it be better if it hadn't been made by Samsung? Wouldn't it be better if we owned Samsung? Some people might say that.
Yeah.
That's not for us to say.
It's like a robot discovering emotions sort of thing. It's all very...
Google Plus.
that's how it is.
I mean, you were just saying how much you don't like Google Plus. They have had a redesign of it. What do you reckon? Excellent now?
It just seems really ugly, really unwieldy. I don't know anyone on it. It's just now, because I don't know anyone on it, like, it's not even me not adding people. No one I know is on it.
That is the central problem. I think everybody has a Google Plus account, but nobody uses it.
No one uses it.
No one gives a damn. And so it sort of populated itself with all this. I don't know who these people are. Like, there's a guy called David something or other. Never heard of him. Never got nothing to do with him. Just a picture of a tree with a face. Mm. That's one of the updates. And what is this service?
He had some sort of philosophical musings about rain.
Oh, yeah. Rain.
He was using to fill up a bit of space.
I like finding pure in the rain or something.
I find peace in the rain.
I find peas in the rain, yeah.
Peas?
But is that what it was? Oh, peace.
Sure, if you like.
I find peas...
I find peas underneath the fish fingers in the at the back of the little plate. Freezer section.
Back of the plate.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really got a view one way or the other on Google Plus, but I don't know. I almost feel like, oh, it's nice that they're persisting with it. Somebody out there must be using it.
It's just...
I think some sort of more, I don't know, advanced. It's almost like Facebook for more advanced users, but most people don't really care about its advancedness. Yeah.
Well, it's
like the Hangouts thing. You think, oh, that's quite a clever feature, multi-way video chat. But again,
I've used that once.
You don't. It's not that. Why would you use it, really? By and large.
Well, I used it once because someone was in Australia and we were trying to arrange something, and someone else was like another part of the country.
Mm.
We used it once. It worked quite well.
Yeah.
It's just. But then it's something Skype doesn't do. You know, it's not. I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it. Have you ever used Google Plus? Do you have an account?
Never. But that's kind of the problem, is that they're never... There's no reason to not use Facebook for something or to not use Skype for something else.
Mm. Yeah.
Or a million other things.
I mean, huddles or whatever they're called, get-togethers. What is the video chat thing called?
It's Hangouts.
Hangouts, sorry.
Huddles. Yeah. Huddles. That'd be
huddles
better.
Is better.
Google Huddle.
The only thing about Skype is it's only point-to-point, isn't it? Whereas Hangouts, you can have multiple cameras.
I think you can have multiple on Skype, but you possibly have to pay a subscription for that, whereas I suppose Google Hangouts is free.
Yeah. I think maybe Google have just overestimated how pissed off people get with Facebook, because everybody moans about Facebook, and I think Google took that to mean, oh, people genuinely want an alternative to it.
But people
moan. For most people's purposes, it's...
But get used to it. I mean, every time Facebook do an update or something, everyone goes, oh, I hate it, don't do it and everything. Within half a day, they've forgotten, and they're just on it. And
whereas with Google Plus, the response to them updating it is like,
well, I didn't know what it was.
Nobody says anything about it because nobody uses it.
Knows. Yeah, well, the worst thing is to not be talked about if you're, you know.
Well, tell that to Jimmy Tarbuck. but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of kind of robots with emotions, this is like a regular topic of conversation on here, but Larry Page's keynote speech, both. Because of an unfortunate condition he has, which is something to do with his thyroid and a paralyzed vocal cord.
Yeah.
He does actually sound like a scary robot.
It's an odd,
I don't say that in a judgmental way. I'm just saying.
No, it is an odd sound.
The stuff that he comes out with, have you listened to this?
Yeah, listen to a bit of it. I went to listen to, I thought, oh, I'll just quickly watch that and everything. And it was
14 hours later.
Oh, yeah. It was Google Pages, Larry Page's Google speech, you know, about 20 minutes or something. One of 15.
Yeah.
Forget it. What is this? Like longer than a film?
It's
obviously
pretty,
not.
You have to take your hat off to the guy because he's obviously not.
3 hours last night.
I mean, he's obviously physically finds it difficult to speak because of the condition that he's got, but he certainly don't let that put him off.
It's on and on.
It's like a man with no legs deciding they're going to do a kind of ultra marathon. It's like, well, I can't really move, but what the hell?
But then doing it somehow.
Yeah. Pulling it off quite fast.
Yeah. but
the stuff, some of those things, I mean, a lot of it was very interesting, very, as always, very utopian. He was saying some very interesting things along the lines of, like, some things that we might want to do, they might not necessarily be legal. So it'd be good to have an area where, you know, we don't get bogged down with the whole question of legality. And it's like, what do you mean? Literally, he mentioned the Burning Man Festival as an example of Burning Man Festival is kind of like, it's a bit like what Glastonbury used to be like,
right.
But more American, as in everybody is more out of it, but also more enthusiastic, because Americans are more enthusiastic.
Woo!
Anything goes. Dude!
Spring break!
It's been like spring break, but for people who like the Grateful Dead and fish.
Sounds all right.
If you, can you imagine the stench?
Can you imagine the squalor? the pungent squalor.
But he mentioned that as an example of what he was talking about. And I was just like, well, what do you mean by illegal? And what do you mean by space in which to be illegal? He didn't
it's
literally
a
use
of
that
a,
phrase.
Hell of a turn of phrase.
Can you
do you just mean cyberspace?
Shit like that.
Like when Homer sets up his own country in The Simpsons.
Yeah. Well, they've said things. Like they've alluded to, we were talking about it the other week, wasn't they? Alluded to, like, they just keep dancing around the idea that maybe they know better than sort of governments and nation states at doing stuff. And you just think, well,
I think a comment like that says loud and clear that they think, or at the very, I don't know, it is basically, it's the final, not the final triumph of the kind of hippie type mindset, but a kind of resurgence of the hippie kind of mindset, now empowered by technology. Another thing he said was, well, as times change, often people don't keep up with change. For instance, like the law has not really kept pace with the change that technology has brought. And maybe they need to be taught, I'm not even paraphrasing at this point, maybe they need to be taught how to think more like we do.
Amazing.
Now, I'm sure
mind.
He didn't mean that in a sinister way.
It's the Borg.
But yeah, I'm sure he didn't mean that in a threatening way.
Yeah.
But with the best one in the world, he does come over as being like a sort of James Bond villain with a combination of kind of strange robot voice plus things that could be construed as a little bit, take over the world and make everybody happy being more like us.
Attitude readjustment and, you know, the change in the law and things like that. It's like, you know, it's very easy to allude to the Nazis and things like that because everything does. But it is, you know...
I wouldn't say the Nazis. I'd say more like...
It's the language of the sort of the 30s, you know, before the Munich Putsch and stuff, where it's all just really lightly dancing around the idea that we need a massive regime change.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? Just leave the laws alone. Make a phone if you want, but you're getting pretty big for your boots.
I don't think it's so much like Nazism. It's more like the sort of Chinese model of communism, particularly the current one, where it's like, well, you know, people don't necessarily need freedom to be happy. I mean, I don't really want to...
It's beyond the scope of this podcast
to, like, you know, discuss whether freedom does or does not.
Below the scope of this podcast.
Yeah, sorry, it's beneath us. To discuss whether freedom does or not, you know, make people happy per se. But it's, yeah, I mean, these are... it's pretty obvious to me that people who are high up in tech companies, particularly in Google, they would like to run the world in its entirety.
Yeah, and I, for one, find it all a bit unsettling. And I don't know when it started.
I think with Steve Jobs and Apple and that generation of people, and they kind of were like sort of final generation hippies as well.
Yeah.
But he also said things like farming can be a lot of fun if you want to be a farmer, but you shouldn't have to farm.
So what is that even a metaphor for?
He's saying are people who are starving in the world and they have to spend all of their time farming. And what he was saying in a positive way was technology can emancipate them from literally having to scratch a living from the earth. But again, just the way he put it almost made it sound like he was from, you know, kind of planet marijuana, basically.
It's just too vague. And why should bad things happen?
Yeah.
Good question.
Another thing he said, again, slightly otherworldly, another big thing for Google is driverless cars.
Yeah.
We're very interested in having driverless cars so we can free people from their daily commute. So we give that time back to them. But it's like, but a lot of people commute in trains, and correct me if I'm wrong, they don't need to drive the bloody trains, do they? Buses, also tubes, also even car shares, whatever. I mean, it's like the driverless car seems like a very odd solution to the problem of commuting.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, if they really want to be
almost
really hippie
one that's been made up by somebody who's never commuted in their life, is what I'm saying.
It's not top of the priorities of problems. Like someone getting in their Mondeo and driving to the office. I mean, you were talking about starving kids a second ago. Like, if you're going choose what you're doing,
I suppose you can't knock him for the breadth of his ambition, I suppose.
Well, his ambition is just saying things. Like, at the end of the day, they can't even get a social network off the ground. No one wants it. I mean, he's going toe to toe with like world hunger and stuff. Forget about it. I'll believe it when I see it, mate.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, okay. Back to the drawing board, Google, says Andrew, says T3's Andrew Wooden.
Says inconsequential pleb.
Right, so that's all the most exciting news this week, but it's not the only news. There's more for your delectation in the next section of the news, which is a news-based segment that I like to call News. And ailing Scandinavian handset vendor Nokia announced its latest Windows Phone handset, the Lumia 928, this Tuesday in America. Curiously, it then announced it in the UK as the 925, which could only mean that our version is three worse than the Yanks. What's up with that, Andrew?
Quite right, Duncan. Quite frankly, with the camera features well to the fore, a metal polycarbonate body and a 4.5-inch screen, They frankly might as well have called it the Lumia 920.1. Frankly.
Very amusingly put, Andrew. Now, it's the question troubling engineers across our land. Is 4G going to f*** your telly? Well, happily, it seems that it will, at worst, send a note that could be construed as having barely veiled sexual overtones, or it might use inappropriate touching at the absolute worst.
What I think Duncan is trying to say is that tests on over 200,000 homes have shown that only 15 experience interference to their 3G reception from 4G signals in the area. The tests were done in the Midlands.
In the Midlands.
Birmingham. And also in London. But engineers warned that the situation in Brighton was proving to be much worse. This was because TVs there have to be tuned much closer to the 800 MHz band used by 4G, and also because basically everything is worse in Brighton.
Sorry, Brian. In Germany, Google, it's been told to clean up its autocomplete system to make it less libelous. Famous Germans have apparently been Googling themselves, only to discover the search engine was linking to mentions of themselves so that they would put in their name and it would then say, is such and such. This is what lawyers call defaming someone up bad.
So, for instance, made-up German such as Klaus Schifflernhofer might type in his name to find the phrase is a nonce added on the end. Or the CEO of Hugo Boss might type in his company's founder's name to see the phrase made uniforms for the Nazis appended. But to be fair, that one is true.
And more shock news just in, there's a lot of online piracy going on, and researcher Kantar has helpfully broken the miscreants down into categories. To summarise, 9% of pirates buy lots of stuff, but then they also nick stuff. 39% nick stuff while not being sure if they're actually nicking stuff illegally or not, and 40% just simply nick stuff. And then there's another category, which is another 9% who nick stuff but are young or something. To be honest, the categories aren't very scientific.
The overall finding was that the bulk of illegal downloads are done by a relatively small number of white young males. After further vital research, Kantar revealed that bears seldom venture outside wooden areas to use the toilet, and that sales of bacon are quite low in Saudi Arabia.
But happier news now, and Facebook Home has been such a massive success in America that AT&T just can't cope and is having to dump the HTC First Facebook phone that it was launched on after just 1 month. The Home app, meanwhile, has run up an amazing 1 million downloads from Facebook's user base of a mere 1 billion and received glowing one-star awards from 50% of Google Play reviewers. Great work, guys.
Analyst Ken Fulp of Sploosh Flume Nomenclature told us, this is not a disaster for Facebook. If it can leverage its market-leading position with a richer experience that engages its user base with greater intuitivity, then it can continue to... Oh, God, I just can't do this anymore.
Sad end for Ken. Well, onto your own missives now, fired into the void of cyberspace without so much as a buy or leave.
John Wells, question for all of us. What do people think of BBM being made available to download as an app on iOS and Android? And is it going to hurt the sale of BlackBerries in general?
Don't know if sales of BlackBerries can get any worse.
Yeah.
Well, how much lower can they go? Exactly. I mean, it's probably the last desperate roll of the dice.
That's pretty much.
It's quite a minor. Because do they make money out of BBM? Do you have to buy? Is it a paid for app?
Well, apparently this is free. I think
it will be free.
Yeah.
Might have ads on it or something. I suppose
it might have ads, but then
people just won't use it.
The thing is, it's not like
people already use WhatsApp.
Well, what WhatsApp or will be charging
SMS
or
SMS?
Yeah,
the point being, there's a load of them, I suppose, and why? I suppose BBM's got a brand that a thing like Viper hasn't.
BBM does have good brand recognition.
Yeah,
but I think so does WhatsApp these days. And if you're if you're an Apple geezer, then certainly iMessage is.
iMessage is just as easy.
It has I at the start of it, so it's going to appeal to you, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, if the idea is you spread BBM as an app around lots of other platforms, and then people have got an iPhone, they use BBM as an app to talk to people, and then what, their next phone is a BlackBerry?
Well, because I don't see how it's going
to
affect BlackBerry.
That must be their thinking, I suppose, but that seems very optimistic.
Yeah.
To say the least.
I've enjoyed this app for sending text-based messages to friends.
I'll pick up
something I've never been able to do before. Yeah. I've enjoyed it so much, I'm going to buy a handset made by the person who made the app.
Yeah. And
it's a bit of a stretch, yeah.
But that must be it. I mean, I don't know why. Unless they're charging, in which case, yeah, make some money out of it, I suppose. But or there's ads. I doubt there'll be ads.
Or to be fair, maybe it's just quite a minor thing that maybe got a bit over-reported as being of some massive
import. Just BlackBerry did something vaguely interesting.
Yeah, first time for everything. Yeah. And, and Craig Fulton weighs in, it might be their only money-making product before long.
Well, oof. Again, I don't know how it's going to make money, so...
Strong words.
Silence! I grow weary of this. What have you bought me as your weekly gadget tribute?
So it's the Mio Cyclo 505.
All right.
Yeah.
And what kind of a thing is that?
So it's a GPS jobby, but it's specifically designed for your bike.
Yeah. I tried to play with it earlier so I could have something to say about it, and I couldn't get beyond the fact that it thinks I'm in Belgium, and that makes it very hard to use.
That's a bad start.
I tried to get like directions to where I live, and it said it's over 200 kilometres away.
Because you're in Belgium.
Yeah, we recommend you don't try and cycle it.
But I'm not in Belgium.
Are you sure about that?
You're a bit in Belgium.
I couldn't even find the settings. There must be, but if it's GPS... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the idea of GPS is it knows where you are.
So well, it's the very least you'd expect from it.
I was a bit thrown by that.
I quite like, there's a big purple button that says surprise me with a question mark. Now, I'm going to press that. Is it going to send me an electric shock?
Yeah.
It's just going to...
Squirt you in the face.
A finger's going to come out and poke me in the nose.
I actually do know what that is, and that... I don't know if many people are necessarily
it's
use
just some
this.
Settings.
No, it gives you a route. It gives you a random route, basically. Like, literally. Like, you can do... I think you can choose a circuit.
A scenic route.
That's stupid.
Well, I suppose if you literally you're out in the countryside and you want to go do a bit of touring on your bike, you're not bothered about getting anywhere.
I suppose.
Seems an odd thing.
Yeah, you want to. Yeah, and you just end up on the middle of the M4.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that would surprise you. Come on, you've got to be honest.
Yeah.
Straight over the White Cliffs of Dover.
Yeah,
it might not be much fun, but you can't pretend it wasn't a surprise.
This is surprising.
What clip. A useful feature!
Yeah.
Splosh.
I've gone into settings, and it's all about heart rates and stuff, like everything.
Yeah,
needs to be
it
now.
Kind of like all cycle things. It you can add ANT plus devices. Is it check your heart rate?
Heart rate, and
it's got a cadence monitor built in. I think
that's something to do with it measures the revolutions of a wheel or something.
Yeah, and I think on how it relates to like whether you're using your gears in the optimum way.
Yeah, so it'll. Yeah, yeah.
But I saw somebody went past me yesterday on a bike, and she had a really, really fancy bike, and she was like very sort of kitted out, if you know what I mean. And she had it in completely the wrong gear, so her legs were going around like that, about a million miles an hour. And she was moving a little bit faster than I was walking.
Just really slowly moving with loads of effort. Just getting really puffed out.
But I
just
didn't
slower than walking.
I didn't want to patronise her by saying, you might want to change up again.
Well, you can't do that.
Just let her trundle on down the road.
Excuse me, love.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, I wouldn't literally have said that, but it might have seemed a bit patronising. But I think she'd have actually thanked me for it inwardly, to be honest. But maybe she likes going very slowly. Maybe she was like, what do you call it? Spinning. You know, in the gym where you just burn a lot
of fat doing that.
Yeah,
just
maybe
really
that's what she
quickly.
Was trying to do.
Yeah, well, she could just be a moron.
She could have been a moron. She was a very well kitted out moron, though, if she was.
A lot of them are these days.
Yep, all the gear, no idea.
All the gear, no idea. That's brilliant.
It is. It's so good. You repeated it back to me.
I'm going to use that again.
Good. So, I don't know. Would you use this, Andrew? Are you a cyclist?
No.
Does it do things like if you get to a red light, it goes, go for a red light.
Ignore law.
Run into a pedestrian.
Yeah.
Go down one-way street.
Yeah, and then do a stupid hand gesture if like a pedestrian dared to be in the way while it's a green light. No, that was like that. I just want to push them
over
sometimes.
I think you were just doing the slowing down hand gesture. Because when I did my cycling proficiency test, they did teach me that one. There is, brake lights on a car. You're supposed to put your arm out like that.
Was that instruction to a car to slow down?
No, but you're slowing down. That's your brake lights.
No one will know what that means.
No, nobody does. Nobody ever uses it.
Yeah. And you're just wobbling.
Oh, you're just falling off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most cyclists turning right hand signals do look quite like that because it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
Maintaining a stiff arm whilst trying to steer with one hand.
Yeah, and you're
and
going.
Avoid being plowed into by a truck coming in the opposite direction. It's not really.
Yeah, going over loads of potholes.
But that is advisable to slow down if you're doing that, so I suppose it does make a certain sense.
But, well, I wouldn't.
400 quid.
Forget it.
400 quid.
I've got. There are cheaper models. This is like the top of the range one.
Right. Cheaper cars.
I thought it's far too expensive. Oh. And sat navs just seem so primitive since like post smartphones.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's got great big sort of. I guess so. It's easy to use, but it just seems
and just really complicated. Like, I'm looking through some of the settings. There's about 18 different different options and stuff like that. And it's like I'll slag off Google Maps a bit, but. It is that thing where it just opens and you are and you put address in and it's done.
Yeah.
Whereas this looks like it's going to be a lot of... It's a really needy little device. It's going to have to play around with it a lot and you don't need to do that on a smartphone. And
I think
you've already got a smartphone.
If you're a very kind of hardcore, like, mammal, middle-aged man in Lycra and, like, a proper cyclist, I could see the use for it, but I think for... If you're just a... you know, a kind of occasional cyclist.
Yeah, there's no point. It's also very childlike and cheap looking. It feels like a sort of baby monitor.
Right, well, what a cracking gadget of the week. In summary then, rubbish.
Oh yeah, we're supposed to be positive, aren't we?
Thanks, Andrew. Now, yeah, so finally, BlackBerry announced some stuff this week. There's the Q5. Is it called the Q5? Yeah, the sort of budget keyboard-based phone.
Mid-range.
BBM, as we were saying, is now on Android and iOS. And I don't know, some other stuff. But the most exciting bit was catching up with what? BlackBerry's creative... she's like international creative director, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Alicia Keys.
That's the one.
Alicia Keys.
The world-famous Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, I don't really know. She's one of those weird pop stars who I know her, I know the name. Mm. I don't think I could name a single song she's done, except somebody said she's the singer on New York State of Mind.
Yes.
But then I think of that as a Jay-Z song. And a
well, she does a version of it. It was on her album as well, apparently.
Did he sample her?
I think she's kind of
flipped the script.
I don't know if it was a sample. I think it was sort of a collaboration, but there's certainly a version of just her singing it, like on her album, and she goes around with a piano singing it. But she had a few other things. She's got that, what was it, This Girl Is On Fire song?
One about being on fire.
Yeah. Really irritating. And there was a while it was like that Daft Punk thing. It was just everywhere.
Yeah, that one passed me by. But she's, you seemed very put out about this, the whole creative... They are usually called creative director. Celebrities who are brought in. Yeah. What's Alicia been up to since last we saw her?
Well, she didn't really say. And it irks me a bit because it's just like, they are just talking to you like an idiot. Like, no, she isn't. Like, they're not saying she's a consultant, she's cool, we got her in for an afternoon to talk about branding.
We paid her a load of money to turn up and pretend to like BlackBerry.
Which, you know, to be fair, some of them do that, a little bit more honest. They are categorically saying she turns up to work each day on like a 9-to-5 thing in some sort of perma role. And, you know, she works there and she's done that. No, she isn't. It's bullshit. it's just such a flood of bullshit.
I love it. I mean, my problem is because I don't really know who she is, it doesn't make that much difference to me.
No.
But like, imagine if it was like Elton John or something, it would just be so fantastic if Elton John like literally... Like, you know, he's got his company card, he has to clock in every day.
Well, it's as ridiculous
as boss
that.
Is, like, sat at his desk, like, five
Where's
minutes
Elton?
Late again.
Where's Elton John?
Where's John again?
Yeah. Where is
he's
he?
Always late.
Here with his Where's big glasses.
When did Elton go to lunch? 11 o'clock, was it? Where is it now? It's 5 o'clock.
What's he doing?
He's been at lunch for the last 7 hours.
Exactly.
What's the guy do?
He's
sitting up on the roof, kicking off some moss.
Yeah. Oh, Rocket Man, get back to your desk.
Verses have made him quite cross.
Yeah, it's just nonsense. And plus the fact she's apparently massively rich from all her album sales and stuff. It's like, well, why? What's he suddenly decided to take a 9-to-5, having accrued loads of money in the music industry? Like,
well, I think it's quite heartwarming. Well, she's obviously an intelligent lady.
Don't worry about it.
She was like chairing some sort of conference on gender issues in tech or something, wasn't she? That was
that's fine. And if you want to go and do a speech and use your position to highlight issues you think are important, that's one thing. But you are lying. You are not on a 9-to-5 salary at BlackBerry, surely.
It does.
Same as Will I Am at Intel. You're not, are you? I mean, I might be wrong, but I doubt it. What do you think, Pete?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think it underlines how uncool pop stars are these days.
Cop.
Could you imagine, you know, John Lennon or Lemmy or Keith Richards...
Kurt Cobain.
...becoming...
Kurt Cobain
or Elton John
becomes Mio GPS's creative content advisor. And he's just there, I'm there, 9-to-5, just advising on the content, just between heroin splurges.
We're looking at some very exciting changes to the UI.
Yeah.
At least I think that's what we were looking at.
Is that it?
Oh, I've got to be sick.
But yeah. But it's annoying, isn't it?
It is annoying.
But it is a trend. It's definitely a trend. I mean, like, three's a trend. There's more than three people doing this. Like, Will I Am is basically the equivalent at Intel. I know, his name is so annoying.
He's pronounced William.
Is he three years old or something?
Me,
Will I Am.
Exactly.
It's like,
I've got a number one in my name.
Does he even say he's a one?
That wasn't an impression.
That was.
Oh.
Well, no, just an impression of a child thinking it's cool to have a stupid name.
And another weird thing here is do you know Swizz Beatz? He's a hip hop producer. He's not great, but he's Rough Riders. He's produced a lot of stuff for Rough Riders, and he's worked with basically anybody in kind of R&B and hip hop who's successful. You can name.
He's like Timberland sort of thing.
No, but a tier below Timberland, right, I'd say. But he's actually married to Alicia Keys, which I had no idea about. And he does the equivalent thing for Reebok. But that seems to me to make a lot more sense. Somebody who works in hip-hop, trainers,
Well, at least that's definite just pure crossover. Branding. Well, there's a crossover there, but it's a pure stylistic branding thing. Your basic extension of an advert. Something.
He did ostensibly design some trainers. I'm not gonna get into how much actual design he
did. All I'll say is this: if you've got a lot of money to spend, you're the head of this, you know, company that's producing a product. Do you get someone in that's a designer to design a product, or do you get some hip hop producer to design your product? Like, surely his.
But if it's trainers,
if it's trainers, it's different.
Yeah, it's not like they're reinventing the wheel. It's just, you know, what kind of fabric are you going to use? What colours?
I presume it's like anything. How do you market it?
So that one kind of makes sense to me.
Apparently
Justin Timberlake advertises on the marketing. I mean, Justin Timberlake is involved in lots of tech companies, mm-hmm. but he also advises on the marketing of Bud Light Platinum. Well, I don't know what that is, but it's got platinum in it, so it sounds upmarket. Justin Timberlake.
Well, advises.
Quite upmarket. I can see how.
Well, if it's just
over there.
Talking about cool culture and stuff, I suppose. But advise is fine. You can get a consultant for anything. Alan Sugar advised.
Well, apparently
he
directed the first advert for it, for instance, and things like that.
Yeah.
So that seems like a decent synergy. But the stupidest one that I'm aware of is Lady Gaga and Polaroid.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Right, this is what I'm talking about.
Ridiculous.
Because this is just ridiculous on every level. Because at the time that Gaga was involved with Polaroid, she was pretty much the biggest star in the world.
Yeah.
Or like the hottest star in the world. Why is she working with Polaroids, who mean nothing to anyone?
The driest photo brand in the world.
And then she designed basically like a hat with a camera in it, which they basically didn't...
Lady Gaga could do one.
Well, actually, weirdly enough, it's almost like Google Glass, but without all the clever stuff. It's
Gaga
like
hat.
A camera so you can like constantly, you know, blog your life or whatever. God. But Polaroid actually didn't put it out.
Because it was stupid.
Yeah, well, one of their executives said something like, "Oh, we didn't put out the kooky hat, or no, maybe there were glasses with a camera or something like that."
Yeah. So what did you expect if you're going to get Lady Gaga? Exactly. That's what happens. That's why you don't get these freaks, these pop star weirdos. They don't even live in the real world. They're just these. They live on a stage. They're conceptual things.
Yeah.
So you don't get them into 9 to 5 mundane roles.
That was such a because that really was like
come up with that.
Elton John working at QuickFit or whatever. Yeah. It's just complete
tires are like star glasses.
Total bafflement on mutual bafflement as to what was going on between both parties there. I think.
Yeah, fair play to them. I mean, I suppose they got offered an envelope of money and all right. But just stop coming to me with these notions that there's these people at the top of their musical game with all the money in the world have suddenly decided to take a really moribund 9-to-5 job at a tech firm.
Yeah.
Because it's just not... It's not...
Well, Alicia Keys, me. I mean, as you say, I mean, like, she's had success for a long period of time. I don't really know who she is. But, I mean, so maybe there is something... Like, she wants to get into tech. Tech is the new rock and roll. She seems like very down to earth, very normal, very whatever. But the Lady Gaga Polaroid thing, that is probably... Like, I don't know what they were thinking of. But so who... I mean, if you could pick kind of a perfect pop star, perfect pop cultural icon to work for a tech brand, who would you... What brand and what star would you pair up?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose Justin Bieber's a big one at the minute, isn't he? What would you have
But who would he? Who would employ him as a job? He does seem like somebody you could come
Oracle?
In as an intern.
I'd have Justin Bieber as Oracle, the back system server management system software. Come in as the funk daddy management guru.
Oh, actually, just straight into management, not a kind of intern type role where you just work your way up.
No,
CEO. Chief operations officer.
Chief operations. You get the big dog in a big chair, Duncan. That's what you do, and he is like I've spoken to Bieber and. He has got some really exciting ideas about back office management infrastructure software.
He seems like somebody who'd...
very dangerous ideas.
He seems like somebody who data warehousing would be, you know, something that he'd be very, very keen on.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, we had this chat and we just went off for an hour about the logistics of warehouse management and like the forklifts and these ideas. He's just full of ideas for it. He's really looking
forward
to the role.
Just normal warehousing.
Well, this isn't...
The type of forklifts to use.
Exactly. And, he just wants to get involved. This isn't a token, get a celeb in, roll him out of things. He's going to be there
from the grassroots.
Day till day. Yeah, he puts in for the tea money, the whip round there. You know, he gets involved.
He's part of the lottery syndicate.
It's part of the lottery syndicate. You know, he has to fill in his expenses like anyone else. He's a like a lot of people ask why he was doing it. I didn't.
Why not? I guess he would say.
I assume he's like a real moron. Which is the only reason anyone in that position would do that, like Alicia Keys.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are you calling Alicia Keys a moron? Strong words.
Well, either it's a lie or she's a moron. One of the two is true. Hmm. Either she's not 9 to 5 with BlackBerry or she's a moron.
With Bieber, I've read from his tweets, I'd assume he'd be quite a sort of harsh taskmaster. Which he would be a good COO for that reason, I think.
Exactly.
He'd probably have to have all his sort of underlings would probably have to wear sensors so he knew where they were at all times.
He can just hack into them.
Yeah, even like if they're in the toilet.
Control them.
You could control them.
Well, they do have that.
What you're discussing is a hive mind.
Amazon, I think.
Do they?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they know where you are.
They almost kind of GPS track their employees. I don't think they literally like, oh, you spent more than 10 minutes in the toilet. That but Bieber could illegal. Introduce that.
I suppose you waver.
You're
it.
Fired.
Hey, man.
No.
We need to discuss your attitude. I see myself Justin Bieber talks.
I think he's quite a high voice. It's quite a. Well, it's just kind of a whiny American voice.
Well,
isn't
as
it?
Soon as he doesn't have a high voice,
game over. Game
yeah,
over,
it's man. Like Alid Jones, whatever his name was, the one that did the walking in the air.
It's the eternal. It's like as they always say, balls dropped by record label.
Mm. Yeah,
it's one of the inescapable truths of
it's not as catchy a phrase as I think they think it is. It's just there's dropped in there twice,
and then straight into.
It's about as good as kick out the keys, Oracle. Really, isn't it?
Kick out the keys.
Could you think of any good pop stroke tech crossovers?
I'm waiting for someone to try and get Psy involved in tech. I'm waiting for Samsung to break Psy up.
Yeah, Samsung would be the obvious one. Or LG, maybe.
A press event. Maybe LG.
Yeah.
Someone's going to do it, right? Someone's going to jump on that bandwagon.
That's because but the thing is, it makes sense for him because he's never having another single. Like, that was obviously a one hit. Well, he doesn't need to, but he's one hit wonder.
Isn't he? He's notorious for having loads of product placement in his videos anyway.
Does he? Just doesn't care.
So it'd just be a kind of development of that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they did have one of their launches, they had a Bollywood star doing his own version of Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style,
I think. And it was horrendously bad.
Well, I mean, a version of Gangnam Style is going to be as horrendous as the original. Yeah. At least as horrendous as the original. Yeah.
But that would be nice.
That'd be good. I can see him on a board of directors.
Well, I could see him more as a kind of middle management type figure, sort of inspiring the workforce through the medium of dance.
Yeah,
and cheeriness.
The Gangnam Style.
Yeah, or kind of, he's
without
kind of
singing, preferably.
Enforced wackiness. He's a bit like David Brent. I could picture him sort of doing inappropriate sort of I'm on a horse dancing to sort of console somebody who's just been made redundant.
I'm going down the stairs. So do I want anything from the basement? No? All right.
No, you can't have a pay rise.
Bye. Yeah. Timmy Mallett, sort of.
Timmy Mallett.
Meh. He'd be good. He probably does work in middle management at a tech company by this point. Timmy Mallett. I thought at the moment, a good one for BlackBerry or Nokia actually might be to bring on somebody like Kerry Katona. Getting her on board. So I think like she...
glamorous.
A kind of good brand association for them.
With BlackBerry.
Well, just with any kind of struggling tech brand is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyone who's maybe their best years are behind them. Well, that's all we have time for this time, but we're on iTunes every Friday. T3 magazine runs ting in both paper and tablet format, and t3.com is ruling the web with an iron fist, ruling it so strongly I couldn't even read it out. We're the T3 podcast. Who the hell are you?